Never. Brother BB, how about praying for
Brother Rick, I just want to pray.
Go ahead. Coming up on the Bible Readers Banquet, if you just got saved or never even thought about reading your whole Bible through, you know you can do that in the month of December. You can do it in 1 month if you want to. You don't have to. You can. We're in Genesis chapter 1. Last week we looked at, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to miss the main point. The main point is we underestimate Him.
Yes.
He's a lot bigger than I think He is.
Yeah.
He's more able than I think He is.
Yeah.
He loves me more than I think He does.
Yeah.
We underestimate Him so many times. And by the way, that's in Mark chapter 6. And the ones that was doing it was His disciples.
Yeah.
That's followers and students. That's the ones that was in here.
Yeah, right.
They're in there. And they underestimate Him. So I know I do. That was verse 1. Verse 2 is where we're trying to get started today. Genesis 1, chapter 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Someone remind me what the deep is. It's not that. Wasn't a trick question or nothing. The deep, what's the deep? That's the oceans and the seas and water. That's water. Now, one guy I read after, he said the first thing the Lord created was water. Well, I see up in chapter 1 there's the heaven and the earth. But I know what he meant. One of the first things the Lord created is water. We're going to try to look at water today. And then it goes ahead in verse 2 and says, and the capital S, Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters. Moved upon the face of the waters. Now, on your handouts, you've got a little 1 John 7 and 8 there. Let's look at that. 1 John chapter 7, 5, 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And if you notice, they're all capitalized on the heaven part. And then the ones that's on earth is not. Verse 8 says, and there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Well, when I read that, the school teacher comes out in me when I see that agree, and I made up a little matching quiz here, agree or match, if you will. I hope I'm okay doing that. And when I glance at this quiz there on your handout, I just see right there up front the blood jumps out at me, and I'm looking over here for the sun, and I don't see it, and I don't know what to do, and I'm thinking I'm going to fail this quiz again, like I do the rest of it. And then I do like I've always done. I said, well, I'll get the easy one first, and so I see the Holy Ghost and Spirit, and I draw a line from 3 to A there. If you got a pencil, go ahead. If not, you'll remember that till you get home. But then I'm still wondering what to do here until I go over to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. So I see there that the Father has blood. God has blood. And actually, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that was God's blood that ran down the cross. So I draw a line there from the blood up to the Father because of Acts 20, 28. And I know we've been over this many times, but maybe someone hadn't. But we've been looking at that. It's almost Christmas time. And we're going to be talking about the virgin birth. But actually, the miracle was the virgin, the conception. Immaculate conception, the Catholics call it. I don't know if that's the same thing. I believe it all. But the Holy Ghost put the seed there. Genesis 3:15 says the seed of the woman. Well, the woman don't have a seed. But the Holy Ghost put one in there. The Holy Ghost put one in there. And baby Jesus did not have an earthly father. Joseph was not his father. Mary never knew a man. And that was God's blood.
Yeah.
That was God's blood. Therefore, on the first Easter, that was God's blood that run down the cross. And that blood, there's never been any other like it. There never will be any like it. And that blood is able to save even Rick and make him brother Rick. Put him in the family, washed me, put me in the family. And so then I'm left on my matching quiz with the Word and the water. Right, I had a cross there, and now I'm going to draw a line from the Word over to the water. And let's see if we can find anything to go with that. How about Ephesians 5? If you don't believe the quiz, the homemade quiz, it might not be theological, I don't know. But Ephesians 5, let's check it out right here. 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. It's the church.
Yeah.
With the washing of water by the word.
Right.
Now right here, God connects the word and water together. I say the water is the picture of the word, but God says it right here.
Right.
Then in 27, he goes ahead and uses this water. This is how he cleans up the church. By the way, the church is a group of baptized believers. So you can take this real personal right here if you want to. He's talking to you. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The way the God cleans you up is with the Bible. It's with his word. The washing of water by the word. That's how you get cleaned up. The blood saves your soul, but then daily there was a foot washing. We walk through this world, and we get dirty and we need water. Matter of fact, we get the spots from walking through the world, 27 says, and the Word will clean us. And then we get wrinkles from sitting in one spot too long, not doing nothing. And the water will clean it and iron it all out right there. And I need, as a sideline here, I need to tell you, I'm going to emphasize today that water is a picture of the Word, but I do want you to know that sometimes it's a picture of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and look at that in John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Yeah.
See, if you want to get filled up with the Spirit, just get filled up with this book. The Holy Spirit of God wrote it, and you want filled up with the Spirit. He's on every page. He's in every word. You want filled up with the Spirit, just get filled up with this book. It's that simple.
Yeah.
It's that simple. The water is a picture of the Word, but it's also once in a while a picture of the Spirit. Well, let's go back and read that Genesis 1:2 again. And see if we can see it there. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the big Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, moved upon the face of the waters. And I'm saying the waters is a picture of the Word. The Spirit's in the Bible. The Spirit's on the Bible.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's look at a couple other things here. James 1:18. It's in here somewhere. I'm troubled. My pages sticking together. Even last week. Let's just check it out up here. Jeremy's got it. Of his own will, begets birth. Of his own will, born again. We got birth. He birthed he us with the word of truth. The Bible, the Word of God. We got born again by the Word of God. The Word of God was around somewhere when you got saved. When the soul winners knocked on my door, the first thing they asked me, they said, "Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God?" And I scrolled down. I said, "Mamma said it was. Daddy said it was. Preacher Pennington said it was." And I said, "I didn't know nothing about it. I didn't know one verse." I said, "Yeah, I believe it. I believe it." They went on to show me how rotten I was. I needed a Savior. There was a substitute. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits unto His creatures. How about verse 21 right there? Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. How'd you get in? The Bible was there when I got saved. The Bible's there. See, God's our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ is my elder brother, and the Spirit's my mother. The Bible's my mother. That's how I got in.
Think about it.
That's how it happened. Now, any questions on water's the picture of the Bible? Good. Let's go on. Now, the first big point is only God can create water. Now, you might go up to the hospital and they'll tell you to make water, but only God. That's right. Only God can create water. We're in chapter 1 of Genesis. We're talking about creation. Evolutionists can't explain it. They don't know where it came from. They don't know nothing about it. They can't do it. Man can't make it. Now, let's look at Luke 16:24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. I want to go ahead and tell you that sometimes, well actually all the time, one drop of what God's got's enough. Sometimes just one verse will pull you through. Sometimes you're looking for... Sometimes a half a drop, a half a verse will pull you through. And also, you need to remember, don't want to be too gross here, but every glass of water has been drunk many times before. And every Bible verse has been drunk in, took in many times before. Your favorite verse... might be the same one that George Washington had or Martin Luther.
Yeah, right.
Martin Luther really liked Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He already drunk it in, but you can go ahead and drink it in again. It'll be all right. It's been purified. It's been drunk. All water comes from God. Revelation 7:17. You can't get it anywhere else. Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Chapter 22. Verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And then verse 17, and the Spirit, capital S, and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. God's the only one that can write the Bible. Man can't write anything comes close to it. Man can't make create water. That's the only place you can get water from God. Number two big point. There's the same amount of water now as there was in Genesis 1 verse 2. There's no new water. There's no new Bible. There's the same number of words in the Holy Bible today as there was when it was finished. There's no new Bible. There's no dehydrated water. There's no artificial water. There's no substitute for water. I like milk. I like milkshakes. I like ginger ale, Dr. Pepper. Love coffee.
Yeah.
But if you've been in the wood pile splitting wood, if you've been shingling a house, pouring concrete, nothing will do but water. Water. If you're thirsty, nothing will do but water. If you're thirsty for righteousness, Nothing will do but Jesus and the Bible. Jesus and the Bible. The Spirit is full of the Spirit. The written Word and the living Word. They're both eternal. They're both holy. Both wisdom. Both comfort. Both true. Both agree. They agree. Now, if you're not thirsty, you might be dead. Maybe you've never been born again. I wasn't thirsty for 20 years. Or maybe you're sick. Or maybe you're like me, just not doing anything. Matthew 5:6. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you thirsty this morning? Is that why you came? I think that's why you came. Because you're thirsty. And you knew the Spirit of God is on the face of the water. And you knew that the words I speak unto you, they are Spirit. And they are life. I believe that's why you came today. You know, a large percent of cells are water. Tomatoes are 95% water. The human body is 70% water. Blood's 90% water. No water and no life. No life. No word, no eternal life. The health book says it's essential that you drink 8 glasses of water a day. Let me ask you, you reading the Bible every day? It's essential. It's essential. Now, some people might need 8 verses. Some might need 8 chapters. I don't know. I don't know. But water has been known to heal kidney diseases and other diseases. I drove the preacher over on the other side of Beckley one time. He had a kidney stone or was going to the kidney doctor because of kidney stones. And the doctor told him, he said, I can give you a prescription for penicillin or you can drink 1.5 gallons of water a day. Now, 8 glasses are if you're healthy. You need to drink that every day if you don't have no problem. But if you're having problems, you might need more.
Right. Amen.
That's good.
Yeah, amen.
If you're having problems, you might need some more. That's what the doctor told him. Lester Roloff took some guy up in the mountains one time and all they did is drink water until he got well. Water. 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 It's a substitute for antibiotics. The Word of God's essential, just as much as water. Except for oxygen, water is the most abundant natural resource there is. And when we say natural, that means it comes from God. The oxygen comes from God, too. See, air is 5% water. You'll be listening to the news, and that weatherman will tell you the relative humidity, how much of the air is water that day. And the Bible is still the most printed book in the world. Still the most popular, last time I read. There's been rain gods, rain dances, artificially seeded clouds, and some's even killed for a mud hole. I think that was John Wayne. But water is the most unusual chemical. H2O, 2 hydrogens and 1 oxygen in three atoms like the Trinity. The ice form, the solid form, is pure, as far as I know. Some ice is pure, be a picture of the Father. And then the liquid is a picture of the Bible, the Word. And then the gas, the steam, out of the teapot, would be a picture of the Spirit. And water has an unusual specific gravity. The solid is lighter than the liquid. If it wasn't, ice would sink. If that happened, if the Lord didn't make it the way He did, and Summersville Lake froze over, the ice would go to the bottom, and it never would melt all summer. And we would end up back in another ice age. Till next winter, it wouldn't melt. because it'd be on the bottom and we'd be in another ice age. The Lord knew what He was doing.
Yeah. Amen.
Still knows.
Yeah, think about that.
You can live without food for about a month, but you go without water for about 3 days, you might die a very painful death. Dehydrate. Water carries waste out of the human body, out of industrial plants. We polluted our rivers with it. Grandpa, he said, grandson, take this basket down there to the spring and get me a basket of water. And he went down there and dipped her in, started back to the house. And it was empty. And he went back down there and he dipped it in again. This time he ran. He didn't make it. He went back again, he dipped it in, and he ran as fast as he could. He said, "Papa, I can't do it." He said, "That's okay, son. I just needed the basket rinsed out." You're doing good. Now, you might not think you understand what you're reading, but it'll rinse the basket out.
Amen.
You just keep reading it, and it's going to rinse out the basket.
Yeah, that's good.
Water keeps your muscles and joints flexible, lubed. You get energy from your food by drinking water. Keeps the tissues from sticking together. Water is essential for physical life, and water is essential for spiritual life. It's essential. Number three big point. Water is not just essential for life, but it's a way of life. Water is a way of life. Abundant water is a blessing. But many live with shortages. When I grew up, we had red water, iron water. Some of you know. It turned your blue jeans red. And I carried drinking water. Sometimes we'd stop along the road where the springs run out the side of the mountain and get it. But normally we carried it by hand. And then my dad made a cistern, and gutters would run in a cistern, and sometimes that wasn't enough, and he put a 275-gallon kerosene tank in an old farm wagon we had and hooked a tractor to it, and on Saturdays I'd haul water and dump it in the cistern. It was a way of life. Now, we just got city water. You just turn it on and you let it run. We used to conserve. You don't have to conserve now. To drink 8 glasses of water a day, you must drink before you get thirsty.
Yeah. That's good.
I need to drink it in. I need to be in the habit of drinking it in before I get in trouble.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah.
Before.
Amen.
Before.
That's good.
3/4 of the earth's surface is water. It regulates the temperature. In the desert, where there's no water close by, it gets freezing cold at night. You get the extremes, extreme hot in the daytime. Over at the coast or close to water, if you live at Nallon, you've got a river running through there, and it's not the extreme. You take the average down the middle. You bring out the Bible, and the temperature changes.
Yes, amen.
Now, my Uncle Bill took that serious, that 3/4. He said God meant for man to fish 3 out of 4 days. And he pretty much did it. Pretty much did it. Let's look at Colossians 1:17. We talked about Him being the Creator, His dear Son. And He, His dear Son, is before all things, and by Him all things consist. See, He's holding that hydrogen and oxygen together. In the last days, the earth's going to burn up. There'll be a new heaven, new earth. All He's needs to do, is quit holding that together. That hydrogen and that oxygen, there's going to be somebody like me who has to burn the trash and this whole thing's going up. One spark when He quits holding it together. That's all that's got to happen is for Him to quit holding it together. Water's the best solvent, cleaner liquid in the universe. I always soak my dishes before I wash them. The grandkids, they've been... One of them made this mixture the other day of peanut butter and chocolate, and I think it was ice cream. I found that glass, I put it in the sink, run some water in it, come back in an hour or two, it'll wipe right off. But man, I don't know what that was in there. Water shapes the earth's surface. We call it erosion. Ends up making the salt water and many other minerals in all water. Sodium, calcium, iron, even some gold. Get down in there looking around, you might find some gold nuggets. Most books say that water is odorless, tasteless, and colorless. But actually, if it's deep enough, it's got a light blue tint like heaven. You get in there far enough, over Ezekiel, reading about where he's wading up to the ankles and the knees and the loins. Now, only 3% of the world's water is fresh. Most, like the Pacific and the Atlantic and those other oceans and seas, is salt water. It's not pure, or it's not fresh water. The river in front of my house is fresh water. It's not salt water. Meta River runs from Rainell to the ferry down there, Carnifax Ferry. But it's fresh water, but I'm not going to drink it. It's not pure. Very few is pure. There's lots of substitutes. There's a lot of impurities been dumped in. And impure water won't suds, it won't lather, won't clean. Got a lot of diseases in it.
Yeah.
Impure water does. Absolutely pure water is rare. Only a little bit of it. Let's look at it in Psalms 12. Psalms 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. It's the words. He's going to preserve the words is what he's going to preserve. Starting with this generation forever. If you need some pure water, right here it is.
Yes, amen.
Right here it is. The United States Department of Copyright believes that God wrote 400 Bibles from West Virginia. I know better than that. Just going to go ahead and tell you, there's only one Bible.
Amen.
Only one Bible. The U.S. is particularly rich in water and all natural resources. When I prepared for this lesson, I went around and looked, and at my house, just at my house, there's 25 and a half waters. I was counting New Testaments as a half. Now, South America has even more natural resources, but they haven't prospered like we have because the people that discovered South America were looking for gold. The people that discovered North America were looking for God. Civilizations rise when the supply is high and fail when the supply is low. God and His Word has caused America to be great. Water's power. Sometimes there's a flood and it's destructive power. Down at the Summersville Dam, they got the hydroelectric plant and that's constructive power. But water is power.
Yeah, it is.
Romans 1:16. How did you get saved? How did you get in?
Yeah.
Yeah. Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Okay, I know all those good things I said about water, you won't believe this, but there's one problem with water. It's not distributed evenly on the face of the earth. There's dry places. There's desert places. See, in my house, I got 25 and a half. And some don't have any.
Right.
Some don't have any. There's no shortage. There's the same amount of water there's ever been. There does seem to be more demand sometimes when you look around. Even good places can experience a drought. Let's look in Amos chapter 8. Verse 11 and 12. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro and to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it." See, that's why Paul's in Italy. And then there's a personal responsibility, though, for us. Mark chapter 9, or for everyone. Mark chapter 9, verse 41. "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." And then Jeremiah 2:13. See, I need to be telling others. I need to be spreading it out.
Yes.
Jeremiah 2:13. One of my favorite verses. "For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." Watch me now. Check it out. "They've forsaken me and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Let me remind us, God wrote one Bible. He wrote one Bible. It's the only one that will hold. Now, there's a certain thing, a phenomenon. I was showing the grandkids the other day, if you take a drop of water and put it on that oak board right there, it heaps up. It doesn't lay down flat. The same thing, you go down, I told you about taking my neighbor down there to the ocean, and he's like me, he never been any farther than Russellville. And I said, "Well, what do you think?" He looked at it there a while, and he said, "Well, really, I thought it was a lot bigger than this." See, you can only see 12 miles. Why can you only see 12 miles on the ocean? That thing's heaped up. Yeah, the name for it's surface tension. And because of surface tension, water will hold up objects heavier than itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry. It'll hold you up.
Yeah. Amen.
It'll hold you up. Mamma, she wouldn't let me lay nothing on top of it.
Right.
But it wasn't any problem. Whatever you lay on there, it'll hold it up.
Yeah.
It'll hold up. Water will hold up, you know, bugs and insects. And if you do it just right, a needle or a razor blade or a button, you don't have to worry. This thing's alive.
Yeah.
It'll hold you up.
Yeah.
It'll hold you up. You can count on it. You can depend on it. You can trust your Bible, Brother Clark.
Yeah.
You can trust it. Let's see if we can trust it in Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32, 2. Now, some of our biggest lessons, if you remember, are with the little words like and as. Like and as. The Lord teaches us some big lessons sometimes. Look here, my doctrine. See, doctrine's what we believe. The doctrine's the Bible. Duty's what we do. And devotion's how we feel about it while we're doing it. My doctrine shall drop as rain. Doctrine is like rain. Doctrine's as rain. And my speech, my words shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. So his doctrine and his word is like rain, and like dew, and like water. Well, how is it like that, Brother Rick? Well, number one, it softens the soil. Softens my old hard heart. That's why I needed to come today. So my hard heart would get softened. One time I went up here to Tractor Supply and I bought a post hole digger, a corkscrew type, goes on the back of the tractor. And I didn't want to waste time going up the nettles. I didn't want to waste an hour going up, an hour back. Plus, this one was $100 cheaper. And when I assembled it at the house, I took it out of that wooden crate. A book of instructions fell out in Chinese. So I put it together, and I only had to build like, it was a little bit less than 100 yards, straight fence. Just needed a few holes. I went out there and put it in. And it had a hole up here you put a slate bar in. And I did chin-ups on the end of that slate bar, and it wasn't even about to go down in there. The tractor couldn't push it down. It didn't go down in that far. And so I took it and parked it. And then a few days, three or four days, a week, it rained. And when it quit raining, I went out there and it went right down in there. That old hard clay been softened up. And that drill did its work. Number one, that water will soften hard hearts like mine. Number two, it'll give you rest. Now, the way I spent my summer growing up is in the hay field. At night, my dad, we didn't have a tractor for a mow machine, tractor for the rake, and a tractor for the baler. We had one tractor for everything. My dad helped me put the mowing machine on because it was real contrary. And he'd say, now in the morning about 7 o'clock, you mow this field over here. And about 10 o'clock, you'll be done. When the dew's off, he said, you could take the mower off by yourself. You couldn't put it on by yourself. He said, you go ahead and put the rake on, and you go over here and you rake this field over here that you mowed yesterday. And he said, about 2 o'clock, you'll be done. And he said, you take the rake off and put the baler on, so it'll be ready when I get home at 3 o'clock. I'll get off early. And 3 o'clock, he said, I'll be home and start baling, and I'll let you take my pickup and haul those bales to the barn.
Yeah. I'll let you do it.
Yeah. That's what he said. And that's how I spent my summer. But every once in a while, he'd say, now tomorrow it's supposed to rain. You can go swimming, you ride your bicycle, you can sleep in, you do whatever you want. And I just come to tell you, get your doctrine right, it'll give you rest.
Yeah.
It'll give you rest.
Yeah.
It'll give you rest.
Yeah.
Another thing, every once in a while, we'd be baling. And it always happened, seemed like on the last load, you was almost done. And you wasn't expecting it, it wasn't in the forecast. We didn't have phones and apps. And it just come a cloudburst. And every time, we'd run to the house. You get your doctrine right, it'll put you in the house.
Yeah.
You're here this morning because you got your doctrine right. That's how water is like doctrine. Another thing, it'll make the seed grow.
Yeah.
Doctrine will make the seed grow. That seed, we're talking about the seed of a woman. But it'll make the seed grow. Sarah was past age, and Abraham was as good as dead, but the doctrine made the seed grow.
Made the seed grow.
It's a way of life. We talked about how some have abundance, some don't, how we carry. Water's a blessing. Doctrine's a blessing. You came this morning because you like doctrine. He'll clean the air. See, I was an airhead. I was. We're just about done. See, there's water for me, Psalm 116. Psalm 116, 12 and 13. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. There's water for me, but that's not all. There's water for everybody, whosoever will. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55:1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money. Can I get a witness right there? Come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come and buy milk or wine and milk without money and without price. That's not all. There's water for the preacher. 2 Chronicles 4:6. See, the preacher needs a lot more water than everybody else. 2 Chronicles 4:6. He made also 10 lavers and put 5 on the right hand, 5 on the left to wash in them. Such things as they offer for the burnt offering. And they washed in them, but the sea was for the priest to wash in. There's water for everybody. Whosoever will can get in. And Deuteronomy says doctrine, singular. And that's always God's Word. That's always the Bible. It's in the Word of God 52 times. If it's got an S on it, doctrines. It's always doctrines of men or doctrines of devils.
Amen.
It's in the Bible 5 times. Are you reading the Bible every day? Are you drinking your water? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for writing it down. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.